Now back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan. 590TheFan.com.
Midday Grind, 590 The Fan, 590TheFan.com. Live from McBride and Son Homes out here in Maryland Heights. Buy a new home, get $2,000 to $10,000 cash for use at closing. We are live in a dining room in a beautiful brand new home here out in Maryland Heights. So if you want to get in touch with McBride and Son Homes, and again, great deal, buy a new home, get $2,000 to $10,000 cash.
You're a short drive from O'Fallon Brewing Company. It's a restaurant in Maryland Heights.
Is that a spot you go often?
I've been there before. Good beer.
Pretty close to Fox 2, actually.
Really?
Fox 2 is Maryland Heights, basically Page and 270 out here.
Speaking of places that's very close to, have you guys been to Westport Social since it opened? I've heard a lot of good things about it. I personally have not yet made it over there. I've been trying to see if anybody else there has had the chance to take it in yet.
I have not.
Nope, I have not.
All right, I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Can't say I have.
So next time we'll all go. There you go. Absolutely. By the way, Corner Butcher, if you want to check them out on the web, it's thecornerbutcher.com and the address 2099 Bentley Plaza out there in Fenton. Going to check in with Andy Strickland in a bit here. I think the Blues are probably doing interviews right now. We tried Andy Strickland. And once he's finished in the locker room there at the Hazelwood Mills, Strix will check in. Bracketology, did you guys watch the games last night? I did, and I was sitting there.
Did you gamble?
I did.
Really?
I won 1-1. Well, look, here's the deal. I was proud of myself because I watched that game with LIU Brooklyn and Radford.
So you rewarded yourself with a little wager.
And I'm thinking to myself, Charlie, don't bet on Radford versus Brooklyn. And I didn't. And then I did, I talked about it earlier, I threw down a first half under on UCLA St. Bonnie's because they were scoring like crazy in the first 10 minutes. And I won that bet. At the end, when Bonnie's were up something like 8 points with maybe 4 minutes to go, I figured the game was going to be close. And I took UCLA getting 6.5. Now, do you remember what the outcome was? So of course, it was 7.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Because what happened? And look, you know what? It's a Nick Saban thing.
Victim.
It's a Nick Saban thing. You have to trust the process. That game was trending towards a tie game or a 2-point game the whole way. And if you remember the end of that ball game, what happened? St. Bonnie's were making their free throws. UCLA would come down, jack a 3, and miss. Fouls, free throws, where you usually expect UCLA to make maybe one basket there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
Sometimes they even give you a layup in that situation. Like, they know you're going to go for a 3. They kind of let you just go by and say, all right, we're going to trade that 2-point layup for a free throw. And that didn't happen. And I kind of chuckled. I don't mind losses like that. It was,
I was
very
about to ask,
small
what do you like when that happens? If you're watching the game at home and you're kind of getting – you're getting pushed a little bit late and maybe the back door –
that happens, though.
Do you get angry?
I don't. And for people that like to gamble on sports, or if you bet on anything, and I think this is fair to say, you don't mind. I mean, of course, you want to win every bet. You don't mind when you kind of liked the reason you made the bet, and you made it for, in your mind, a smart reason, even if it didn't go your way, even if at the end you lose on a bad beat. It's the emotional bet.
Yes.
That you make it. Like, let's say you're betting NCAA tournament. Let's say you go out with your buddies to Vegas, right? You really like these three games, and you do your homework. You look at the numbers, and you go 0-for-3. And that's when you start chasing, and mentally you make the stupid bet. And then let's say you're betting, I don't know, just for argument's sake, you're betting $10 a game. And let's say you lose your first 3. Well, now what do? You try to catch up by making up for all 3 losses with a $35 bet to get it back. And then all of a sudden you've made 3 emotional bets, and instead of losing $30 where, hey, Let's get them tomorrow. Now you're down 120. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. That's why I never bet on a local team or a team that I have any ties to. Because, and it goes back to, ironically, putting Missouri through many brackets in the NCAA over the years. Because all I ever saw was perfect case scenario. Oh, yeah, they can beat them. So-and-so will do this. So-and-so will do that. And reality was, once the game's going, you go, yeah, I just oversold that to myself. So I just purposely stay away from anything that I'm emotionally tied to.
And we discussed this yesterday, and I think everybody does this when filling out their bracket. They want, even if you don't even know it, you want certain teams to win, and that influences, even if you're doing a $5 or $10 bracket at work, it influences how you fill out your bracket. Again, how many in a 50-50 game, which, let's be real, Mizzou, Florida State is probably a 50-50 game. The last I looked, Florida State was a one-point favorite. So if you look across the country, the bracket should probably be about 50-50. What do you think they are in St. Louis? It's probably 80 or 90-10 because everybody wants Mizzou to win. They kind of know about Mizzou. We don't know that much about Florida State, and they put that team through. I actually didn't pick Mizzou to win in my bracket, although I want them to win. But you do the same thing. You got a friend that went to Virginia. Oh, well, Virginia's going to win. I used to live in Lansing. Oh, Michigan State's going to make a run. You know what I'm saying? We all do that when we find connections. Oh, Loyola, MVC. Yes. I watched them in Arch Madness. They're
going
to win.
Everybody here in this town is going, Michael Porter Jr., second game back. And they're all thinking he's going to play 35 minutes and score 20 points. It's best case scenario. Cassius Robinson can't be that bad again. He's going to score 17 to 18 points, light it up. I'm taking Mizzou. Reality is, it may not be that. It might be they come out cold, foul trouble again, Tillman's on the bench, Michael Porter Jr. can't play because he's still hampered by injury. Nobody ever wants to point that out if you're the local guy and it's your team.
And my wife has no interest in sports whatsoever, but she actually said this year, let's do a bracket challenge between her and I, and let's actually bet something to make it fun. So we've decided that we're going to pay each other's cell phone bill for 1 month,
wow.
whoever wins the bracket. So I'm filling mine out yesterday, and I spoke during the Hollywood Casino Press Box about this Tony Bennett article that if you love college basketball or just sports, you should read this article about Tony Bennett in the Washington Post. And I read it after I'd filled out my bracket. I did pick Virginia to win.
Oh, so you're paying her cell phone bill.
Well, and then look, here's the thing. I haven't submitted my bracket yet because then I started to do some more research. I probably should have done this earlier, and I see that this DeAndre Hunter, ACC Sixth Man of the Year, this 6'7" swing man who's a very good player for Virginia, is now out with a broken wrist for the whole tournament.
You don't deserve to win for even projecting the subjugation of America to watching Virginia.
Yeah, why do you hate
okay, but look, when you look at the ACC and how good that conference is, look, when you look at how good the ACC is, and Virginia lost what? One game?
You just want to bet a bunch of unders this month. No. That's why you have Virginia winning it all.
Listen, I love an up-tempo, fun style of basketball. I loved watching Kentucky play in the SEC tournament.
Right.
Even though Arkansas doesn't have necessarily great structure, I love watching teams that get the ball out of the bucket and they go, or off a miss, they go. Arkansas does that. So, no, for my viewing pleasure, I hate watching Virginia. I used to really hate watching Bo Ryan and Wisconsin.
Oh,
and even a worse team, because they weren't that good, was Bill Carmody with Northwestern, where those games would be 47-45. That should be a halftime score in some high-scoring college games.
By the way, it's funny you say that, because right now Virginia and Wisconsin are the only two teams in college basketball this year playing below a 64 possession per 100.
They played each other this year.
It was
the worst game all year.
They both play at like a 62 possession per game pace, which is ridiculous, which is number 351 and 350 in the entire nation.
I will come to your defense. I was thinking Virginia would win this, but with Hunter out now, I don't think they can win a Final Four matchup.
Yeah,
he was that good.
They're going to have to win. They're going
to have to change
it. Teams below 40 without Hunter to win games consistently.
He was really good for them, and the other thing is I love the way they were breaking that press by North Carolina in the championship game. I was like, they're not blinking an eye. Boom, 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 ball's up the court, and Carolina's chasing already. I thought – They're set. They know what they're doing. Everybody was perfectly placed. But without Hunter, I think that's a big loss for them. It is going to, you know.
It's definitely going to hinder them.
Yeah, it's going to hinder them a lot.
That's Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, Charlie Marlowe, Matt Rocchio here on the Midday Grind, 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com, live from McBride and Son Homes. We're going to check in with Andy Strickland in a little bit. Buy a new home, get $2,000 to $10,000 cash for use at closing.
Do you know who your wife is picking?
No, I have to print a bracket out for her because I had only brought one home. I thought I had another one. And then she also said, don't print me off one of those janky brackets that doesn't have the seeds and doesn't have the records.
You're trying to cheat her, huh?
I'm like, yeah, you know, Montana.
She's played this
good
game
squad.
With Charlie Ward. Yeah. She knows how he goes.
Yeah. Charlie's going to white out all the seeds and see how she does.
I think Penn's the one seed in that region. No, that would be funny. I can subliminally tell her, like, Murray State. I'm really liking Murray State this year. I did. You know how you kind of look and you're just looking for upsets? I did do the – I think it's a local play. I think it's become a national play to think Loyola's going to make a run.
Yes.
And I for my bracket at least, I kind of bought into that. I picked Loyola going to the Sweet 16. My Final Four – and I might have to change Virginia now, but I had Virginia – I'm loving Michigan. I think John Beilein is just a hell of a coach. He's tested in March. And then I picked Duke and Villanova. So a lot of chalk there. Nothing really too interesting, I have to say, in terms of some higher seeds making a run. I do have Loyola winning a couple games. I don't know why. I feel like Stephen F. Austin. They're always in the tournament.
Yes.
Now, Brad Underwood was there.
I love him because we're talking about teams that play slow. Stephen F. Austin – they rebound the ball, get down it quick, and then they fire off threes. And in my opinion, those teams are fun because, let's be honest, first round goes poorly, they don't hit their shots. They're losing by 25 in the first round. But if they get on a hot streak, they're fun through maybe the second, third round.
And
I love those teams.
And Brad Underwood, when he was there, now we're talking 2 years ago because he was at Oklahoma State last year, but those Stephen F. Austin teams that he made the tournament, I believe, 3 straight years or a couple years in a row, they were always one of the best in the country at offensive efficiency. So I kind of looked at that. I'm just thinking, Stephen F. Austin versus Texas Tech.
I
pulled the trigger on that one. I'm picking Stephen F. Austin to beat Texas Tech, but, I mean, who the hell knows? But it's fun to
that's what it's all about.
Fill out the bracket.
I like it. I like it.
Want to tell you guys about Liberty Tax and what they have going on right now. Liberty Tax Service hosting a supply drive to help support our local APA Adoption Center. It runs up until Saturday, March 31st. They need items, toys for dogs and cats, collars and leashes, pet or baby wipes, and pet treats for the pets, obviously. Then also the food drive for Salvation Army. The items they need, dry goods, pasta, rice, cereals, and box bars, canned meats, and protein items. When you drop off your donation, you'll receive a voucher for 30% off 2017 tax preparation and the adorable plush mama dog with puppy as their thank you for helping the APA of Missouri. The offer valid at the Liberty Tax office, just this one specific office over by our station in on Manchester, located at 9836 Manchester Road in Rock Hill, 63119 near Hacienda Restaurant between Berry Road and McKnight. They take appointments. Give them a call, 314-942-7223. However, you don't need an appointment. That's not necessary. And the discount is, once again, valid through March 31st, 2018. We're going to catch up with Strick, hopefully. We also have the end of the day. Just Blues overall, though.
Took a hit last night.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Do you find yourself scoreboard watching?
You have to.
I will. As a fan, I'll check games and follow a little bit as the course of the night last night just to see who's winning and who's not. Colorado wins. They smoke the Minnesota Wild last night. That pulls them even with 82 points with Dallas. I think a couple days ago we all assumed that Dallas was too far out in front. Now both Colorado and Dallas tied for those final two wild card spots with 82 points. Blues with 79. And then tonight, Dallas again on the road, this time in Toronto. San Jose is at Edmonton, and Anaheim, who's just ahead of the Blues, is at home against Vancouver. So scoreboard watching, yes, and then you get Colorado coming into town on Thursday, which is a must-win game in regulation at home against the Avalanche, who are just playing really well.
And that's the thing. Now when you check the NHL scores every night, you're looking, you're saying, okay, wait, that team has to win in regulation, okay? We don't want a three-point game there. We need that team to lose. And again, when you're looking at the 11 teams battling for those eight spots, I don't think anybody thinks Winnipeg is going to fall out of it. Now, you have Dallas. Could Dallas, in theory, could they make up 3 points and get to the third spot in the Central Division? I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but it's still a possibility. So at the end of the day, one of our favorite phrases, I guess you're looking at what? You're looking at really six teams. If you look at the ones that you think are pretty much they're going to make it, you still got about six teams that are battling for those, what, final three positions.
It's crazy. You know, I just ran off three games, and there's other teams that aren't even playing. Calgary's not even action tonight, and you're going to have to follow every one of them if you're the Blues interested in trying to climb the ladder. They're idle, and they're just sitting around waiting. But again, it's a cliche to say you got to take care of your own business. They do, but if they don't, you're relying on four or five different teams.
All right, Andy Strickland checking in now from the Hazelwood Mills. Blues practice this morning. Strix, what's up, man? How are you?
The Hazelwood Mills. I like how you put that.
You always make fun when I say that. It is what? The St. Louis Outlet Mall Mills in Hazelwood Mall Mills. What is it again? What's it technically? I always mess
up. St. Louis Ice Zone. The St. Louis Ice Zone. The
okay,
Ice Zone
fair
of St.
Louis,
Mills. Okay.
Ice Zone. Gotcha.
Because,
all right, give us.
Now the Mills, the actual ice rink here, the St. Louis Ice Zone, is owned independently of the rest of the Mills. And if you haven't been out here in a long time, there are no stores here except like a pretzel place.
I was going to say, there's
maybe
a pretzel shop.
Maybe a Bed Bath & Beyond. That's about all that's going on out here at the Mills, along with the ice rink. But it's independently owned. A guy by the name of Dr. Matt Gornett, one of the top spinal surgeons here in town, does a lot of operations on Cardinal players and athletes, whatever. He's very, very good. He actually purchased the ice rink. He actually owns the rink that the Blues practice in. So it's locally owned, FYI.
Love it. Give us a pulse of the room. What are the boys talking about just now?
Well, it's completely different than, you know, before they left for this road trip. You know, we all knew that this was going to be a huge road trip. You look at the opponents they were facing. And, you know, I've said this several times now that, you know, when you face teams that you're fighting with to get into the playoffs and you get these head-to-head matchups, I mean, this is an absolute luxury to have. Now, you have to win them, because if you lose them, then you drop even further. And obviously you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. But if you can win these games, it really sets you up to be in position to be knocking at the door, and that's where the Blues are at right now. You know, the addition of a guy like Robert Bortuzzo to get back into the lineup, I think helps stabilize things in the back end. You know, everyone's going to focus on what he's doing from an offensive standpoint because he scored goals in back-to-back games. But you look at the competitiveness that he brings from a defensive standpoint and just how he's defending. And, again, the size that he brings to the table and then slotting in everybody where they probably should be. Just changes everything. Now it looks like Joel Edmondson, there's a real good chance that we see him return to the lineup tomorrow night against Colorado. Another 4-point game, another game against a team that you're fighting with to get into the playoffs. You get Edmondson back along with Bortuzzo. All of a sudden, you look at this group of defensemen, you know, for the St. Louis Blues, and this is the identity they're looking for in terms of what made them successful early on in the season. So things are going well in addition to getting some secondary scoring, but for me, it starts with Jake Allen. He is the absolute story for me in terms of what's led to the success of the last couple of games for the Blues.
Okay, so with Jake the Snake, what's different? Is it mental? Is it something with his fundamentals? Because obviously this really shouldn't surprise us that much that he got back to playing at a high level, because he did this last season. But what do you think's changed?
I think it's 100% mental, Charlie. You know, I got to be honest. I mean, it's among the weirdest things I've ever seen in my time, you know, covering the National Hockey League and covering the Blues. I mean, I've never seen anything like this, where a guy can be so good, then completely fall off the map, and then be so good again. And, you know, he's got to own it, you know, when he struggles. I know last year there were a lot of excuses made because he had the baby, and these are relevant excuses, and I get it. And maybe his sleep patterns were changed up, and maybe that impacted his struggles. And, you know, obviously the coaching change maybe had something to do with that as well. Once Mike Yeo took over, Jake Allen obviously took off as the Blues' number one goaltender. And he carried that not only down the stretch last season, but also into the first round against Minnesota. But, you know, this year, I don't know what the reason is. I mean, why did he fall off so badly? And everyone focuses on the goal support. Well, he wasn't getting offensive support. Hey, listen, Jake Allen wasn't very good for a stretch there, and not nearly as good as he needs to be. The Blues are paying him like a number one goaltender. Maybe not at the high end of what a guy like Carey Price or some of these other goaltenders make around the league, but he's certainly being paid like a number one, and they need him to be that guy for this team. And I think when he's playing the way he has the last couple of games, guys, I think the rest of the team reads off of his confidence, reads off of that poise that he brings to the ice, and everything kind of falls into place when you're getting saves. It makes a complete difference. Obviously, you look at Carter Hutton, the way the team played when he was in the net. I mean, he was getting points almost every time he started. I think he was in a stretch of like 8 of 9 or 8 of 10 starts where the Blues got at least 1 point when he played. It makes a complete difference when you're getting saves. And I think the play of Jake Allen, just going back to the San Jose game, you know, where he allowed one goal. I know they got to empty net goal as well. Having that belief in your goaltender makes all the difference in the world. And I believe his play over the course of the last 2 or 3 games is a big reason as to why it looks like the Blues are moving in the right direction.
And how about Ivan Barbashev? He has a goal and assist versus the Ducks, much more productive over the last 3 or 4 games. Why do you think he's been able to kind of step up his game? Is it as much as with Stastny leaving and kind of new roles for some of these players? And also with Barbashev, can you think of a player that you'd compare him to that we'd know? I know he's, what, 33rd overall pick back in 14. He's still a young guy. He's 22 years old. Why Barbashev playing better, and who do you think he could be if things work out over the next 5 years or so?
You know, that's kind of tough. I probably need some time to think about that in terms of a comparison, you know, who he can be. I mean, this guy brings, I think, way more offensive ability than people may realize, and for sure way more competitiveness. This guy's a much more competitive player than I think given credit for, and we've seen that the last couple of games. I mean, we see he can make plays. I mean, everyone focuses maybe on the goals that he scored the last couple of games, but look at the assist in the first game against L.A., his ability to spin off a defender and just find, you know, Robert Bortuzzo on the backhand there. I mean, that's some beautiful play. You know, not a whole lot of guys can not only be able to execute the play, but identify where the open man is and be able to do that, make a blindside backhand pass to the middle of the ice like that. I mean, that's an unbelievable play. And, you know, he was very good, you know, obviously coming up, played in the World Juniors for Team Russia. I mean, certainly on the radar for Russia national teams. And for whatever reason, he was lacking confidence. You know, I think he is a centerman. I think that's where he should be. I know that's where he wants to play. But it's interesting, you know, last year down the stretch, two of the biggest storylines were Jake Allen, obviously, along with Mike Yeo, but also it was Ivan Barbashev. I mean, he was the number one center entering the playoffs last year, playing alongside Vladimir Tarasenko. They showed great chemistry together, and he was scoring goals down the stretch. And now you're starting to see him do that a little bit right now. But this is not a fluke when it comes to Barbashev. We're starting to see who he is. Can he be this guy on a consistent basis for this hockey team? I think we have to wait and find out, but he's certainly capable of it.
So, Strix, finally, two-part question. Do the Blues make the playoffs? And then when you're looking at these teams they're battling with, Blues, Calgary, Ducks, Stars, Colorado, who's going to fall out of that group, do you think, and who's going to
make it? Well, I think one of the teams from the Pacific are going to fall out, whether it's L.A., Anaheim,
yeah.
One of those two teams. I mean, Calgary's got a real tough schedule ahead of them. I mean, you look at the Dallas Stars right now, they don't have Ben Bishop. I mean, they're really struggling, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Blues eventually caught them. You know, the Blues have gotten through the toughest part of their schedule. When you look at, you know, playing those games a few weeks ago against Nashville and Winnipeg and Minnesota, when the wheels really fell off, then you go on the road, this last road trip, and again, that's why winning these games are so huge. Now all of a sudden it gets easier. Look at all the teams they're going to play coming up that are out of the playoff race, like Vancouver, like Arizona. You know, obviously a couple of games against Colorado, who currently sit in a wild card position. They got the Rangers coming here on Saturday. I mean, these aren't easy games, but certainly winnable games. So they've gotten through the most difficult part of their schedule. Again, two more games against Colorado. It could come down to the last game of the regular season, guys, when they play the Colorado Avalanche in Colorado on the second half of a back-to-back game. They play Chicago the night before. They've got three more games this season on the schedule left against the Chicago Blackhawks, who aren't a very good hockey team right now. So, again, when I say winnable games, I mean, the schedule certainly shapes up for them to be able to get in, but it's not going to be easy when you have to jump over some of these teams. So, you know, these games against Colorado are going to be huge, obviously. But I would think one of those teams from the Pacific, whether it's L.A. or Anaheim, one of those two teams. I just don't see both of those teams making the playoffs. So, you know, we're going to have to wait and find out. Hey, who's the psychic that just died yesterday? You're asking me to be the psychic, Charlie. I have no idea if they're going to make the playoffs or not. But I look at the schedule, and I think they've got a very good opportunity ahead of them if they can win these games that I think are very, very winnable.
We're asking for your analysis. I know I hear the phone buzzing. It's probably Chris Pronger. We'll let you go. We have to get to the end of the show. We're up against it, as you know. But thank you for joining us live from the Hazelwood Mills with local ownership, with a new doctor next to the Cabela's and the pretzel shop. Local ownership. Ice Zone.
You love it, man. Hey, it's always great to be with you, Chuck. Where's Martin?
You too, buddy.
By the way?
Martin is off for the week. He's taking care of business. I think his wife had knee surgery, to be honest. I think Martin's fine with us saying that. So he's helping out. He's not on vacation because if your significant other has a knee surgery and can't move around, you're doing everything around the house, I'm guessing.
All right. Again, the big news, Joel Edmondson could be back in the lineup as soon as tomorrow night. We'll know tomorrow after the morning skate. Always great to be with you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, buddy. See ya. That's Andy Strickland live from the St. Louis Outlet Mall,
did Strick,
Mills, Hazelwood.
Did Strick walk into frustration there for a moment because he was answering it, and then all of a sudden he goes, I'm not a psychic. Why are you asking me to be a psychic? How come I can't tell the future?
Did a psychic die yesterday?
I don't know where he was referring to.
I know we're up against it, but this mentalist they're having on these ESPN shows with their 24 hours coverage of the NCAA tournament, this dude is crazy. He was like asking people to predict scores, then he was telling them what they wrote down on a piece of paper. It was actually unbelievable the way he was kind of picking these people's brains for the NCAA tournament.
Speaking of brains, Stephen Hawking did pass away.
Stephen Hawking. Yeah, is that what Strick was talking about?
Maybe. I don't know.
A psychic?
Yeah, but he wasn't a psychic. He was a physicist.
Physicist.
Yeah.
Hey, same
not
thing.
Psychic.
It sounds the same. Psychic, physicist. Hey, close enough.
I read a story. He tried to disprove time travel, and what he did was he held a party, but he waited until after the party was over to hand out invitations. And he felt that if somebody did show up to the party, that that would be proof that time travel were real.
That's a good idea.
That was his way of disproving it.
I like it. Great program, sir. Fun times. Charlie Marlowe, Brian Hoffman, Jim Huer, Matt Rocchio here live at McBride and Son Homes in Maryland Heights. We're sitting here in a dining room. It's been fantastic. Beautiful homes being built right here.
A lot of natural light.
In Maryland Heights. Yes. Beautiful natural lighting throughout all of these structures. Buy a new home. Get $2,000 to $10,000 cash for use at closing with McBride and Son Homes, Missouri's largest home builder. The Hard Line coming up next. Cam, TJ, Eric, and John Hadley. This has been the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.